Hi everyone, hope you're having a great conference. Welcome, and help me please welcome Dr. Fred Kirsten.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Showing my little timer for 45 minutes, and I should be done in 44. Okay, so anyway, we are going to start today. Welcome to Musical Opportunities for Exceptional Students through MOOC Controller Software. This is aimed at college students as an opportunity to see some of the more advanced things that are starting to happen with technology. And so we are going to start with a performance. This is a college student. This is Charlotte White. And she is from the St. Rose's College in Stroud, England. And she is going to play for us the prelude to the cello suite number 1 in G by J.S. Bach. Nice little retard at the end, and also a little bit of a smile at the end of her performance. So Charlotte's a very unique young lady. She was playing using a MIDI sensor for her head, as well as two switches for her thumbs. And Charlotte is a very unique young lady because she's had all different types of achievement. She has done a lot of things. She decided when she was 18 years old at St. Rose's School that she wanted to raise some money for her school. Now, most college students might, you know, bake some cookies, or they might work with some type of a raffle, but not Charlotte. She just jumped out of an airplane. And she was part of a skydive that she sponsored. She was 18 years old. Handouts up there, folks. Thank you very much. Great. Come on in. She decided to have a skydive. She raised a massive 25,000 pounds, which is equivalent to 50,000 American dollars, and raised it for the Drake Music School in St. Rose's. She said the best bit was when the parachute came open. And I said, well, Charlotte, I guess if I jumped out of an airplane and my parachute came open, I would think it fantastic also. But she was sort of floating around in the air. She said it was an out-of-the-world experience, like she was on another planet and completely detached. She said the worst bit was when they were just about ready to jump out of the airplane. This was pretty terrifying. She dislocated her shoulder, but she said she would definitely do it again. She's a very interested young lady. She's won the Bronze Arts Award, which is a national honor through the St. Rose's School. She has also achieved a degree at the University of Kent in Sociology and Criminology, and currently she's performing around the world with the Para Orchestra. I thought you might like to see what was going on the other side of the camera. Because Charlotte was working with a MIDI sensor for her head, and two switches were the thumbs. And she was using a new version of software, which is called the Adaptive Use Music Instrument Software, and it looks like this.
It was a great demonstration of how to use the newest version of the Adaptive Use Software instrument. First thing you do is you open up the program, and you click on this turn on, turn off button. That should hopefully turn on your webcam, and all your drivers will work and show up on the screen. Next thing you do is you'll click on the point of your bass first track, and you usually go to the rhythms. And then at this point, you have to choose what mode you want. And the two ones we're mostly focusing on are the keyboard mode and the four-way drum mode. The keyboard mode is pretty simple to do. You turn it on by clicking the green button right here, and then It's not going to make a sound if you actually choose a slow. Still and key. So now, if I move within this box, I can go up and down the scale, and it won't make sound outside the box. Depending on the child's abilities, you can make it really large or really small. The other mode we have is this four-way drum mode. So we click on the green up here. And what this is going to do is allow us to play a different drum in each bowl. The first thing you have to do when you play in this mode is go up to this open sound folder button. And this will open up a open folder dialog. And what you want to do is choose the sound folder that I supplied with this one. And then down here, you get to choose which drums go there. So if I want a kick drum in the upper left, I select kick on this one. Now if I go up here, that's the kick drum sound. So I can put in drums for the parts. And what we found so far that this middle area that's neutral to the sound is sort of an advanced feature that we haven't really taught the children yet. So I tend to turn it all the way down so it's just four lines. It's a little easier for them to work with. And maybe more advanced things later on will work with this neutral area. Or we'll have a different thing.
I mentioned the Drake School, and I think it's a very important school to know about. By the way, a lot of this information I've given you in the handout, so you have it available to you. There's also a site up online that I've done for this presentation, and also it's available in TMEA format. So if you go up to the TMEA sites, you'll be able to get the digital for, and if you go to all this information, you don't have to type in, you know, all those hieroglyphics to get the sites that I'm talking about. Drake is a very interesting school. This is in the UK. They work with music disabilities and technology. And their whole direction is working with special education needs disabilities. They've got offices in London, Bristol, and Manchester. And their whole direction is to work with technology to help get away from disabling barriers. They were very helpful to me as I started to work with my presentations. They will share their knowledge with you, especially if you are teachers or involved. How many people are working with students who have disabilities presently? Yes, good. Oh, great. Fantastic. This is something to look at because Drake is now working with physically handicapped and new controllers. And one of these controllers that they are working with is called Brain Fingers. What it is, it's a set of sensors that goes around the person's head, and they can detect movements that goes on in their forehead and also parts of the brain. So what happens then is that information is then fed back through a little device, and this functions as the mouse. So what they can do is they can control their computer hands-free. And there are 10 different movements that they can make with their forehead. Also be aware of eye gaze control. I'm going to show you that in a couple seconds. But what you can do is you can also control your computer mouse by using a cursor by eyes gaze control. You take a camera, fixate it on the eye, and the person can move the eye. Big problem is that sometimes with eye gaze, you have stress or you blink at the wrong time. It's just like hitting the mouse at the wrong time, and then you go off of the score. Big problem with working with Brain Fingers, you're talking $2,250. The stuff is up there, but you'll find that there's a lot of places that have grants that will be able to finance. In my area in New York, we have what's called the BOCES, Board of Cooperative Educational Services. And they do a lot of things of bringing in grant money for people who have handicaps. If you're teaching public school, anybody teaching public schools yet? No. Okay, if you're teaching public school, ask your administrator. Sometimes they will be able to give you some information on it. So I want to show you Brain Fingers, but I'm going to have Chris Joaquin show it to you. He is a student at Drake, and he's going to perform and show you how it works. By the way, when he was moving and playing initially, he was playing with the group. Okay, I didn't get the rest of the video in there, folks, but he was actually playing with a musical group. There were three other guys, two guys on guitar and one guy on drum who were actually playing along with him. So it's something very important to note what you can do with it. They're doing so many things in the UK for disabled musicians. So one of the things they're working with, a lot of different types of orchestras. The orchestra, the Southwest Open New Orchestra, is developed to try to work with new forms of technology. And Bradley Warwick is a student there. He is also the spokesman for their group, and he's going to show you a little bit about what they are doing with the new types of technology that they are using to develop.
One, two, and three. You're using top.
Hello, my name is Bradley Warwick. I am a member of the Southwest Open Youth Orchestra, and I am 21 years old.
Brilliant. Thank you, Warwick.
I have cerebral palsy which affects all my limbs. I use my communication device to communicate with using my eyes.
Very nice.
I love being part of the Southwest Open Youth Orchestra. I feel a kind of freedom and belonging. Ashley plays piano and is very amazing. Connor also plays piano and is a good friend. Ben plays the instrument, which is amazing equipped.
Note this controller, I'll talk about it later.
Music with switches, but the instrument helping up music had made for me helps me be a better musician. It's called the clarion, and I am able to play it with my eyes.
Oh, can you see?
When I look at an object on the screen, I play
it well.
When I move with my eyes around the object, I can change the quality of the sound. George plays the clarion with his head movements using a smart nave infrared motion sensor. At the Southwest Open Youth Orchestra, they can make an instrument for anyone.
You just anticipate exchange of notes for a lot of time.
Orchestras are very important to open up to disabled musicians because it gives them the opportunity to perform with others. It enables me to get out and meet new people who also love music. I would love to make a career with music, so I hope this will all help.
And I think it helps, and thank you very much. I didn't realize you couldn't see. Anybody else? Okay, great, fantastic. Another orchestra I wanted to mention to you, which I think is very unique, and here's our friend Charlotte as she performed in London and also in Saudi Arabia. This is the Para Orchestra, another orchestra, professional ensemble, first one for disabled musicians alone. So they work with technology, but they also work with the usual brass, percussion, woodwind, and string instruments. So this is another thing they are doing a lot of in England. I talked a little bit about physical controllers, and I'd like to show you a couple of these. One that's used quite a bit in this country is a click-to-go quintet. very simple thing. Obviously, it's five buttons, as you can see. Connects it to a CPU, and the persons then can be able to work with it. They can click on it. They can work with a group situation, or they can also use it as a solo instrument. Straight out of the box, you don't have to have a lot of different types of equipment to work with it. You can work with memory cards, send back up your songs, and be able to use it with other types of ensembles. Another thing you are working with is what is called the Magic Flute. Notice this unit here has got a breath control tube. So the person then can breathe into it. And what they can do is play without the hands by using the head and also the breath. They blow in the mouthpiece to control the volume. And what they do then is rotate the flute around up and down to be able to change the pitch of the note. And you can plug it into a MIDI keyboard or a synthesizer. You can work with any different types of timbres. You can record up to 8 sets of notes, and there are 8 default scales that are recorded. So rather than talk about it more, you look like a Beethoven crowd. So I decided to let you hear the Magic Flute playing some Beethoven. You must be prepared for this, so I'm going to do the Beethoven 9th Symphony. Only a little bit of an excerpt of it, okay? But I thought you might like to see the Magic Flute in another type of venue, because you can use all different types of timbres, which is very unique. Another type of music, and also using a saxophone badge. Has anybody worked with the WX5 by Yamaha? It was a device that was used for a lot of years. It really hasn't taken off that big in this country, but it's a wind controller. If you're a wind player, you can play just the same type of way that you would play with a synthesizer and various sounds. Well, it's being used in the Netherlands, and this gentleman, as you can see, can work with types of breath therapy. He can be able to work if he has spinal muscular atrophy or spinal muscular dystrophy. And many college students over there now are using this if they have disabilities perform. So they can perform with a regular band. They might pick up, for example, a part that a person may not be able to cover. Contrabassoon, for example. English horn. Or if they want, they can also play the percussion instruments. Also, if they want to, let's say they want to play with a string quartet, as this young lady is doing. She could work with this and then be able to play with a string player. She could pick up the second violin or cello or which other one she wanted to work with. I mentioned eye tracking. It's sort of an interesting direction because what you do is you focus the camera on the person's eye. And by moving their eye, they can do a lot of different things musically. They can compose, they can provide various types of accompaniments, or they can play solo lines. This gentleman has got practically no movement at all in his body, and he's using this device to track his eye, and you'll see what he'd be able to do sound-wise. The controllers that are coming out now are starting to find their way into public schools and working with private students. One of these is called the BEAMS. This is a device, the Theremin. I have an expert, Dr. Badosh, who's very much into this and has done all types of things with performance. Are you still composing your composition for band?
Yes, just had a premiere.
Okay, he's doing a... Tell us about it.
Well, the one I'm most interested in was phone, so... It's a different one, I think.
But he composes using the Theremin. Has anybody seen a Theremin? Okay, it's a device with a couple sensors, and there's a wave in the center. It's essentially what you can control with your hands, device you can get involved with pitch and timbre and so forth. The new device is called the BEAM. Same type of principle, but what they're doing with it is starting to get it into public schools, which I think is really neat, because some of this technology I'm talking about is obviously for people who have really severe disabilities, as you well can see. But starting to work with some of these things that are starting to find their ways into the schools. And the BEAMS is doing this, and they're using it primarily in the UK.
Westover Green Community School in the UK to teach music appreciation and music concepts. BEAMS is used in hundreds of schools to teach learning concepts, implement therapy protocols, and provide sensory solutions. Interactive music videos bring early learning to a whole new level in schools and at home.
Faces with all the feedback parents needed.
I teach music therapy to my students, and the BEAMS was a wonderful tool in helping some of my students who are more physically challenged than others.
There's another device that's being used with young children and will connect into an iPad, and it's called the Scoog. This is a tactile instrument. It's a small connection. If you are working in a room, let's say you have a number of students, you can work with six different groups because you can set up six different units. It's great working with young children because of its size, and the other nice thing about it, you can do all types of imitation types of things. Some of the kids will accompany themselves using the iPad, and also they can play various solo lines if they want. Looks like this. Two devices that are really neat and are starting to be marketed also find their way into American public schools. One is called the McKee-McKee and McKay-McKee. I always pronounce it wrong, so I'll give you both pronunciations. Sorry about that. But it was developed at the MIT lab. You can make any object controller. Anybody work with that? Have you seen that yet? Okay, you will. Okay, it's quite interesting. I got a video of it. What you could do is you could take alligator clips and connect it into a device. So let's say if you want to do a scale. Eight glasses. Connect an alligator clip to each one. Or you say you want to have a flower stem piano. You can connect it to flower stems or pieces of candy. Or you can then take magnetic paint and paint yourself a musical score and connect it to that. A lot of kids are using this in general music classes or working with a foot piano. In other words, we set it up so the kids then can be able to work with a foot piano, something that's sort of a different. So this is something that's one that's being used quite extensively out in this country. The other device is, again, a UK device. It's called Mojis. And they're using it in public school music over there. It will teach various skills that get involved with rhythm, timbre, velocity, and melody. So you're getting to see the McKee-McKee, and then you'll get a chance to see Mojis. All set up, connected up to the glasses. Or candy. Or a foot piano. Paint a sketch.
Your instrument and start playing. Mojis will detect the frequency of your gesture and will tune the sound of your instrument accordingly. But there is so much more. You can create your own bespoke instrument or MIDI controller using our innovative gesture recognition technology. Just record a few examples of taps or scratches, perhaps hitting different objects as well. You can then associate each of these with a different sound or MIDI note. We use the app to choose from a growing selection of sound engines that we have designed specifically for Mojis. We have adapted classic drum sounds and sound synthesis techniques such as physical modeling and FM so that their parameters can be controlled through the subtle nuances of your movements and the objects you use. You can also use Mojis to control any instrument you like via MIDI.
Anybody preparing to be general music teachers in the public schools in this room or teaching general music? Okay, as you're going towards that, this is something, another thing that you can do with these things. The kids like to be able to do activities. Sometimes they don't have all the music skills in the world, but this is something that works out very nicely with the technology and to be able to things that they can do. So this is something to look at. My area of specialty is working with blind, visually impaired. When I was teaching public schools, I started to teach people who were blind who taught piano. And I also worked with I was one of the first persons to be involved with the immersion classes where we worked with special ed kids coming into general music classes. So I got my feet wet very quickly in working with the technology aspects. When you're working with somebody who is blind, visually impaired, there's a misconception. Just because they are blind does not mean they're going to be able to read Braille. Because they have a sensory problem. I can read Braille music, but I can't read it with my fingers because I just can't sense the dots on the page. So I know what the configurations are like. So what happens, unfortunately, is there are very limited ways of working with technology. Also, over the years, technology has been oriented on the PC side. We're now starting to do a lot of things with accessibility. I'm going to show you a couple of things you could do with these machines I got in front of me. But most of the stuff was on PC side and very obsolete because not many people are using it. So obviously they don't spend a lot of time developing it because they're not going to make any money. Side, one thing that they work with is called JAWS. And JAWS is a speech synthesizer, and it works with a lot of different software. And rather than me tell you any more about it, I'll let JAWS tell you a little bit about itself.
Right, so that's originally in fifth. JAWS. What is JAWS? JAWS for Windows is a powerful accessibility solution that reads information on your screen using synthesized speech. JAWS provides many useful commands that make it easier to use programs, edit documents, and read web pages. With a refreshable Braille display, JAWS can also provide Braille output in addition to, or instead of, speech. An array of versatile features and customizable options lets you tailor JAWS for your individual needs and preferences.
And what I can then do with that is apply it to a piece of software called a DAW, Digital Audio Workstation. So the software I'm using is called JSonar. Sort of an old one. Unfortunately, again, it's obsolete because not many people are applying it to the various types of software working like Pro Tools and so forth today. However, what you could do if you have low vision is you can edit all types of digital audio. You can work with MIDI. You can compose. You can do arranging and so forth. So what I have done is I opened up JAWS. I pulled in a MIDI file that I made. I made the A minor flute sonata by Bach, which I play on recorder. And so I use that as the background. And then you'll see what I'm doing is I'm going around the screen, and you'll see what somebody who has low vision can do if they want to read or hear the screen as they start to work.
Playing. Menu, use menu, piano roll plus 5, piano roll plus 5, use insert menu, transport menu, play space, audition shift plus space unavailable, record up unavailable, rewind shift plus W, dot stop unavailable, run audio, reset. Step record dot 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 shift toggle step record activate shift loop and auto shuffle dot 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 record options dot 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 transport context menu playing.
And what you can use with JAWS for is work with a piece of software called LimeAllow. Now, what LimeAllow will do is allow the PC to play or narrate any note on that page and talk about the chords. So it'll orally describe the various notes, get involved with pitches, line, lyrics, ties, anything on that page. Bill McCann is the person who heads up Dancing Dots. If you want to know anything about working with music and visually impaired individuals, go to the Dancing Dots page. I've given it to you in a handout. You can follow up on that information. And Bill is here today, and he is going to give you an audio presentation on how LimeAllow works. Bill?
I'm Bill McCann of Dancing Dots, and I'm here to give you an audio presentation of a feature of our Goodfield Braille Music software we call LimeAllow. LimeAllow is designed to give you a multi-sensory approach to a musical score. You'll hear verbal cues, and you'll hear musical tones, and on my Braille display, I can feel the equivalent Braille music notation to an arrangement of My Country Tis of Thee. Some of you may know it as God Save the Queen. I'm going to just try to let JAWS tell you more than I'm going to say. We'll see how I do. Here we go.
Treble clef 1 flat up major 3 4 time mezzo forte / B moderately My Country / Tis of Thee.
So you can see there's a lot of information in that first note. Let's go to the second note.
B2, F4 quarter.
You hear the beat, you hear the pitch, the octave, and the rhythm. So on B2 we have F as the pitch, 4 for the octave, and quarter for the rhythm. Let's go on.
B3, G4 quarter. R2, B1, E4 quarter dotted, B2.5, F4 8, B3, G4 quarter. R3, B1, A4 quarter.
I'm simply using the arrow keys on the numpad to move note by note.
I want to show you some of the various types of hardware that are out there that is used by the individuals for various types of reading of Braille. One of these things is a Braille display. Now, if you look at it, you'll notice that it's set up, the person is reading along. This has 24 Braille cells. So behind each one of the cells is a set of wheels. So when they push one of these buttons, then they can come up with 24 cells, the wheels spin, come up to the confirmation that they've got, and then they can feel along, read along, they can push another button and go back 2 measures, 4 measures, and so forth. So this is a Braille display that's used quite extensively. Another one is a tactile Braille display that's connected underneath a computer keyboard. Usually it's an old-style machine, as you can see, but they can set it up so they can be able to work with the various typing in, and then they have the Braille display underneath, and then they can work with both in conjunction. The whole direction now, folks, is to try to go forward with more portability. The Braille Light Millennium M40 is quite interesting because now this is getting involved. It has a speech synthesizer. You can do email. Just notice it has 6 buttons on it. So if a person can write Braille, they can write it in. It'll be recorded. And then they can go through the usual internet procedures, but now we're going portability-wise. The M20 is taking the same thing and compacting it considerably, as you can see. Remember I was showing that one guy who had the keyboard, who had all the lights on it, you know, he was playing all over the keyboard. Well, he was probably using a transparent key overlay. And what they could do then is take that overlay, put it over a standard computer keyboard, and then program it with all different things. So if they play the note A, it might be a letter A. You know, you probably work with QWERTY. You know what I'm talking about, QWERTY keyboard. Okay, you can do that type of thing sound-wise, and they can get involved with sequences, notes, and all these various things. A lot of things that are happening there. New direction is starting to work with is called the LimeLighter. The LimeLighter is working for somebody who has low vision. Persons who are blind do not necessarily mean they are totally blind. Many of them have some residual sight, so they can do a lot of things, and this is a big problem because everybody immediately pushes them into the Braille mode, which is not true. Because if you've got some low vision, there's a lot of things you can do. The LimeLighter is sort of interesting because it'll fit on top of a piano keyboard, or you can put it on a music stand. And so the person then can be able to work. They work on white on black, okay, because inverse can see the color. And they always work with some type of a knee paddle or a foot switch. So if they want to move ahead, I don't know, has anybody started to play using their screen to be able to read music off it to play? Have you tried
that
yourself?
I've not seen it, but I've actually seen it. I have a confidence that uses that technology to play the keyboard. She just uses a foot pedal to turn the page.
I'm an organist. Okay, and if you play, anybody play organ in here? Yeah, if you play organ, you know, with pipe organ, you got 2 feet and everything going at the same, 2 hands and 2 feet at the same time. But you're always flipping screen. The new things, having this thing in front of you is a godsend, you know, because you got a knee paddle and you can go on to the next set of 3 scores. But this is what they're doing, and they're doing it with low vision, and then they can pull in MIDI files and all this other good stuff, which is there. I wanted to mention to you and show you what happens with a poor visually impaired individual. When Ray Charles was alive, he was working with Sibelius Speaking 3. Anybody work Sibelius in here? Yay. If you're working with Sibelius, they started to use that because it's great software. I also teach a course there for Boston. But anyway, they were working with this over a lot of years. And when he was alive, you know, he had all types of bread besides an airplane. Used to use this, and they keep developing. 2008, they decided there was no money for it. So what happened was they guys stopped writing the scripts for it, and then it went down. So unfortunately, this is what happens economically. I want to show you in my last five minutes to show you exactly what's happening now with your computer. Anybody play with the accessibility access on your machines? Have you done that? Anybody in here? Okay, do that. Okay, whether you got an iPad, a PC, whatever, go into accessibility and see what your machine will do. Not only for somebody who might be working with, but with the kids. Let me just show you a couple things that's going on the Mac side. On the Mac side, we are now working with hearing impaired a lot of things. We've got FaceTime, which gives us a high-quality video, fast framework, so you can get involved with all your sign language and also reading lips, which is a very important aspect. There's also now working with the closed captions for deaf individuals, because you can now work white on black, okay, which is really great. So you can do that on your own machine. This is also great for somebody who has low vision, because they can do the same type of thing, okay, narrating around the screen. If you're hearing impaired, you can work with mono audio. And you'll find that, I just found it was on my iPad, which is really very unique, because what you can do if you're hearing impaired, you probably have a frequency impairment in one ear and another one in another ear. So what you could do is, obviously when you go full stereo, you're putting one set of instruments on one side and one set of instruments on the other. So being able to come back to mono audio allows you to bring both sets in and be able to hear by using just both of your ears, which is something that is very unique. For visually impaired, it's just going crazy on the Apple. They are now working with VoiceOver. This allows them to be able to read the screen. They can go all over the screen and have it narrated for them. There's a zoom effect for large print. There's a dictation effect. There's also an inversion of colors. You saw what it's like, you know, with a white on black, you know, when you're working with that. Okay, you can do so many things on the Mac with that. And also now there's all types of Braille displays that will come out of Bluetooth. So you don't have to worry about the cumbersome cord for connecting in. One thing in my work with visually impaired individuals, they hate to have you help them. Okay? They want that feeling of independence. It's something you might think about when you leave this room and think, oh boy, I can go out of here, walk, but I don't have to have anybody help me. But it's something that I found immediately. And this is why I think this technology is so cool as it's starting to work forward. A lot of things that are starting now happen on the iPad. You're working with the VoiceOver I've mentioned. VoiceOver is now in all the various types of apps so that they can be able to read and hear what's going on their screen. There's now called the rotor. It means that you can put your hand around the screen and have any aspect of the screen narrated on your iPad. And the iPad, again, is so great for somebody because they don't have to be tied to this monster machine like they used to have to do in the library. All types of display accommodations, font adjustments, audio description, Zoom, one that I know you know, Siri. Everybody's worked Siri, right? Okay, if you're a blind, visually impaired person, how that's going to help you with your research. Oh, I mean, it's a fantastic thing to be able to have. If you go on the PC side, there's a lot of different things. There's a magnifier. There's keyboard shortcuts. There's speech recognition. You can hear the text read with the narrator, and they are developing new things as they open up with the new versions of 10. And the last thing I want to show you is VoiceOver, which is on the Apple Watch. Now, you wouldn't think that this thing would be so helpful for somebody who is visually impaired, but just think about it. Being able to work with what they call the haptic engine, same type of thing on your cell phone, okay. You know, the thing that buzzes, you know, but it allows you to then set in settings and be able to go any place you want, move around, having an indication, giving directions, and then telling them where they're there. So there's a lot of great things that are starting to happen with music technology. I think it's so phenomenal. As a person who's worked with individuals over the years, it's so great to see the things that they can do and have that feeling of independence. So the handout is available on the TMEA site for you. There's a webpage with a QR code on the screen. If you have your cell phone, you wish to get to that. Communicate with me. Please get back to me if you have a question about this. I just worked with a full professor, Brigham Young University. He's teaching a jazz improvisation course. Okay? He's almost totally blind. Okay? Big problem is working with his kids. I gave him a lot of information. He's very happy because we found a piece of software where he can get involved with, you probably all know NoFlight. Yes? Okay? You know how to interact with NoFlight. Okay? Big problem with NoFlight. It's very simplistic in terms of the getting in more advanced chords. You know, when you get into a 5-7-9 chord and this is the type of stuff he works with. And so we found a piece of software, and it's working for him. But it is so phenomenal to see this new technology allow these individuals to function alongside us. Well, thank you all for coming, and please get back to me if I can help you. Thank you very much.